Hi, my name is Billy, and today I'll be reading you the Beacon Hill Times for the Talking Information Center. This version of the Beacon Hill Times comes from Friday, August 21st, 2026. And over to our first article, Vote September 1st, City of Boston Election Department issues reminders ahead of state primary, issues call for poll workers. This was written by Special to the Times. The Boston Election Department is reminding voters that the state primary will take place on Tuesday, September 1st. The election will determine the candidates on the ballot in the upcoming state election on Tuesday, November 3rd. Poll worker recruitment. The Election Department is recruiting poll workers for the upcoming state primary on Tuesday, September 1st, 2026. Poll workers are paid a stipend ranging from $160 to $200 in addition to payment for required training. Being a poll worker is a meaningful way to give back, participate in democracy, and help neighbors vote in elections. Residents can request to be assigned a location close to their home. Bilingual applicants are strongly encouraged. Residents can apply or get more information at boston.gov/pollworkers by emailing the Election Department at pollworkers@boston.gov or by calling 617-635-0905. Voter registration. The voter registration deadline for the state primary on September 1st is Saturday, August 22nd, 2026. Voters may register in person at the Boston Election Department at First City Hall Square, Room 241 at Boston, Massachusetts, by Saturday, August 22nd at 5 p.m. You can register online at voteinma.com by Saturday, August 22nd at 11:59 p.m. And by mail, register forms must be postmarked by August 22nd. In-person early voting. In-person early voting will run from Saturday, August 22nd through Friday, August 28th. Registered Boston voters can vote at any early voting location. Boston City Hall will serve as the primary early voting site, with voting on Monday, August 24th, Wednesday, August 26th, and Friday, August 28th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Tuesday, August 25th, and Thursday, August 27th, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Voters are encouraged to enter Boston City Hall using the north side entrance on Congress Street, across from the Haymarket T station. Additional early voting locations are available in neighborhoods throughout the city on the following dates: Saturday, August 22nd through Sunday, August 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, August 25th, and Thursday, August 27th, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. All early voting sites are equipped with electronic poll books for voter check-in. Early voting locations will be well-staffed with poll workers and interpreters. All sites are fully accessible to voters with disabilities. Vote by mail application. The vote by mail application deadline is Tuesday, August 25th at 5 p.m. Voters may apply for a vote by mail ballot through the Secretary of Commonwealth's website by visiting the Election Department in Room 241 at City Hall or by mailing an application. Voters should not place applications in ballot drop boxes, as this will delay the processing. Voters can track vote by mail or absentee ballot at trackmyballotma.com. Accessible voting. The accessible electronic voting system allows voters who are unable to independently read, write, hold, or physically manipulate or mark ballots to submit their ballot via a secure electronic delivery system. Voters who qualify for an accessible electronic ballot may apply online. The deadline to apply for an accessible ballot is Tuesday, August 25th at 5 p.m. To get access to the electronic ballot, voters will need to provide their email address. Poll Pads Electronic Check-In. Poll pads will be used to check in voters at each early voting location. The voting process for voters remains the same. Voters will check in with a poll worker, receive a paper ballot and envelope, mark their vote, seal it in the envelope, and return it to be counted on election day, or processed in advance at the authorized facility. Central Tabulation. On Monday, August 24th, the City of Boston will begin processing mail-in and in-person early voting ballots cast in the state primary for all 275 precincts. Ballots will be removed from their envelopes and fed into a tabulator at Boston City Hall, 1 City Hall Square, room 801 in Boston, Massachusetts. Ballots received prior to Friday, August 28, 2026, will be removed and deposited in room 801. Advance processing schedule. Ballot removal and processing will occur daily from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., beginning on Monday, August 24th, through Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, with processing beginning at 7 a.m. on September 1st, if necessary, and continuing until all ballots have been processed. All ballots advance processed by 5 p.m. on Friday, August 28, 2026, will be centrally tabulated. All other ballots received by 2 p.m. on Election Day, on Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, will be delivered to their respective precinct for processing. Ballots received after 2 p.m. on Election Day will be processed after the close of polls at 8 p.m., once the voter lists from each precinct have been received by the Election Department. The list of precincts to be processed can be found on the public notice. Media guidelines. Where to stand. Members of the press must remain behind the guardrail. While many polling places are not equipped with a physical guardrail, the area within the guardrail encompasses the check-in table, the voting booths, and the ballot box. Once poll workers and voters should be within the area. Interacting with voters and poll workers, members of the press, like all other observers in the polling place, may not interact with voters while they are in the polling place. Further observers who have questions about where they should stand and what they are allowed to do while observing should ask to speak to the warden. The warden may provide members of the press with information regarding their rights as observers. Photography. Photography of the voting process in the polling place is permitted, though marked ballots may not be photographed. Photographers are allowed inside the polling place to photograph the area from the outside of the guardrail. The warden may instruct the photographer not to take photos of any marked ballots. Video and audio recording. As with photography of the polling place, video recording of the polling place is allowed. Audio recording of the polling place is not permitted under state law. Any recording of the polling place must have the ability to record without capturing audio and should be instructed to do so by the warden. Those who are using electronic equipment may not use the electricity of the polling place to power their equipment. and exiting polling. Exit polling and interviews of voters are permitted outside within 150 feet of the polling place, as long as it does not interfere with the person or voter on their way to an election. Only voters leaving the polling place may be stopped. Voters' access to the polling place should not be impeded in any way. And over to our next article, Beacon Hill Women's Forum, a social organization for Boston area women. This was written by Marianne Salza. Longtime Beacon Hill resident Jen Corapi considered herself to be well acquainted with the city of Boston, which she began discovering while attending college. What she later realized was that, although she was familiar with the neighborhood, she did not know her neighbors, and so she joins the Beacon Hill Women's Forum, or BHWF, a social organization for the Boston area women, in hopes of becoming more involved in her community. I've thoroughly enjoyed exploring with BHWF ladies and seeing Boston through fresh eyes. Being surrounded by women with such different interests has a way of nudging you outside your usual routine, shared Corapi, special events co-director. Beacon Hill Women's Forum has given me a circle of women I probably wouldn't have crossed paths with otherwise, whether that be different careers or chapters in life. We all have a common interest in building community. At its core, BHWF is about connection. The BHWF gathers on the second Tuesday of each month, from September through May, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Union Club of Boston, located at 8 Park Street Place in Beacon Hill, for an engaging speaker series that will feature leaders in energy, finance, science, art, medicine, and education this season. One of my favorite things about the BHWF is the variety, from doctors to journalists to authors, activists, and beyond, listed Vice President Rachel Vaughn Nedia, who hopes that women from all around the city connect with and enjoy the BHWF. The variety of women in our organization is also a reflection of the various activities we offer. It is easy to try something new when you have the support of this group. An assortment of thoughtfully organized connections events held throughout Boston offer frequent opportunities to meet with friends, from curiosity labs, interactive workshops, to backyard adventures, monthly activities related to or led by a monthly speaker. Membership introduces you not only to new people, but to the Beacon Hill community as a whole. It brings women of all ages and stages of life together to get to know one another, experience the neighborhood, and build a genuine sense of community, said Neighborhood Narrative co-director Colleen Daly, who moved to Boston last year, meeting local shopkeepers, learning about their businesses, and becoming more familiar with the neighborhood, and has been a wonderful way to feel connected to the community. Participate in meaningful conversation with the monthly book group, share dinner at a local restaurant with feast with friends, sip on drinks after work with a small group during mix and mingle, or eat brunch with neighbors during Sunday Fun Day. Beacon Hill Women's Forum does an amazing job planning and hosting a variety of events throughout the year, whether it's trying a new restaurant, spending an evening in the park, or gathering at a member's home. There are many different opportunities to try something different and connect with other women, explained Daly, who described BHWF as fun, lighthearted, and thoughtful. Beacon Hill Women's Forum has been a great way to experience the neighborhood and discover places and traditions I might not have found on my own. For the first time this year, BHWF offered summer events such as afternoon shopping at a local market, prospective membership picnics, arts and crafts, and gathering at Shakespeare in the Common, hosted by membership co-director Dina York, who returned to Boston 2 years ago after 23 years of living in the suburbs with her husband. I wanted to meet new people and engage with my community, so a friend recommended BHWF. Now that I live in the city and can easily walk to events, I try to do as much as I can. I am loving meeting new people and discovering new places in and around Boston, said Downtown Crossing resident York, whose favorite BHWF events are the speaker series and book club. I have made new friends, discovered businesses and restaurants, and tried new adventures, which I hope to do again, like kayaking on the Charles. Attend the first forum of the season on Tuesday, September 8th, featuring Monica Katru, Director of Eversource Energy and CEO of Anaya Scholars, a nonprofit organization that she founded in memory of her daughter, Anya, that empowers first-generation, low-income college students through financial support and career development. View a calendar of events or learn more about membership that benefits include 7-speaker forums, connections activities, the December holiday party, and May spring stroll by visiting www.beaconhillwomansforum.org. Connect, inspire, enjoy, says it all, exclaimed Vaughn Nedia about the BHWF's mission statement. This organization has given me an opportunity to make connections with other women in the city. I am constantly inspired by our various speakers, and I get a chance to enjoy my time and have new experiences in new locations with new friends. And over to our next article. Suffolk County DA Hayden is proud of his many accomplishments. This was written by Carrie Schumann. When Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden was introduced as a recent political event in Revere, the applause was substantial. Revere Mayor Patrick Keith praised Hayden in his remarks, stating, "We are here to celebrate our public safety. We have the most sworn officers, police, and fire that we had in over 2 decades. We haven't had a homicide in the city of Revere in over 4 years. A week later, at an event in Chelsea, residents give Hayden an equally enthusiastic and respectful welcome as city councilors Leo Robinson and Calvin T. Brown hailed the district attorney's many accomplishments during his 4+ years in office. Kevin Hayden has done a tremendous job working with our law enforcement office officials in protecting our residents and engaging with our community," said Robinson. "He has been highly visible at events promoting public safety, and his office has always been accessible and professional in its immediate response to correspondence and phone calls from our residents. He always has a team present at such events as National Night Out and public meetings." Hayden, who is seeking a second term as district attorney for Suffolk County that encompasses Boston, Revere, Winthrop, and Chelsea, said, "We have accomplished a lot of things in the short time that I have been in office, and we need to make sure that good work continues. Statistics indicate that there have been a significant decline in incidents of crime across the county that has 800,000 residents. Historically low crime rates don't happen by accident, and a lot of what we've done over the course of the first term has helped achieve that," said Hayden, a graduate of Dartmouth College and Boston University Law School. Whether that's dealing with our juvenile alternative resolution or JAR program, helping our young people and keeping them away from our criminal legal system, a program which we've expanded to emerging adults, it has been extraordinarily successful so far. Services Over Sentences, or SOS, an alternative to prosecution program launched in 2022 by Hayden, has been a focus of the DA's office in addressing the opioid crisis. The opioid epidemic continues to be a problem for us, particularly in our South End neighborhood right now, and our focus is on recovery, on getting people we call high risk, high need, into the treatment that they need, the housing access that they need to give, and to give them the opportunity to build a life that they need, and hopefully, first and foremost, to get clean and sober. That's how we address that problem. That way, we can prosecute people less, and it saves lives. And we have real proof of having saved lives through our Services Over Sentences program. Speaking about the intervention and prevention aspects of his office, Hayden, who oversees approximately 165 attorneys and 310 staff members, overall noted, "We have our fraud fighters piece, which is primarily geared towards our elder community, but as time goes on, we are finding that our younger folks are very interested in it as well. When you talk about online fraud, phone scams, and the things that are happening now, particularly in this new age of AI, it's a rampant problem. It's one that's hard to prosecute. So we know and we've learned that intervention and prevention are our most useful way of combating that problem, telling people exactly what scammers are doing, and staying up to date and one step ahead of them, and letting our communities know how they can prevent themselves from being defrauded." Hayden said that retail theft continues to be a real issue. The reality is that there is no one-size-fits-all solution in how you tackle that problem, said Hayden. "Someone who's homeless and down and out and starving for food, who is stealing, is a lot different than someone who's running out of a store with thousands of dollars of merchandise at a time and doing that for profit. So we have partnered with our retailers and with law enforcement to make sure we are dealing with shoplifting and retail theft in a comprehensive and effective way." Hayden emphasized that his office will always focus on the most serious and most violent crimes first and foremost. "That's what keeps people up at night. That's what people are concerned about. Everyone wants and deserves to be safe," said Hayden. "And we continue to focus on violent crime and how to drive it down and how to be better. But we are doing very well in that area. We are seeing historically low crime rates across the board." Hayden smiled when he was asked about the rousing receptions he has garnered at local events. He knows that there is work still to be done. "I'm just extraordinarily humbled by the response I received in our communities. It's humbling to know that people have the confidence in my staff and me and the work that we're doing," said Hayden. "I'm proud of the work we've done during the term. Rome doesn't get built in a day. It takes time to establish things that we've established. The extraordinary successes across every major area. We've also improved the office internally as well, from a professional development standpoint, from raising the salary of our assistant district attorneys and all our staff. We've been able to work very closely with our legislator to get the salaries increased for our staff. That's very important when it comes to retention and being able to keep people around. And we've also increased the number of staff. We have 40 more people working in the office than we had before. And we continue to work on adding some more because if you don't have the people to do the work, then it's hard to get it done. I'm so proud of the work that we've done. We have some of the best public servants in the entire state doing this work. We are proud of what we are doing in the Suffolk County, keeping our community safe while are continuing to advance important ideas around criminal and legal reform. But we are not resting on our laurels. And over to our next article. Boston Public Library announces 2026 Fall Lecture Series. This was written by Special to the Times. The Boston Public Library, BPL, announced its 2026 Fall Lecture Series, bringing award-winning authors, acclaimed filmmakers, and influential visionaries to Copley Square and the Shaw-Ruxbury branch this fall, with programs spanning literary fiction, documentary film, and public conversations on science and technology. All events are hybrid, free to attend in person or live via Zoom webinar. Registration is available at bpl.org/events. At a glance, on September 22nd, Boston Public Library will have Sarah Botson. On September 29th, Boston Public Library will have N.K. Jemison. On October 3rd, Boston Public Library will have Ann Pratchett. On October 21st, there will be an AI in Civics engagement panel. On October 28th, Boston Public Library will have Nicholas Boggs. And on November 9th, Boston Public Library will have Dr. Kizmikia Corbett. Lowell Lectures have Sarah Botston from Florentine Films on Tuesday, September 22nd, 2026, from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Central Library in Copley Square. As a filmmaker who has collaborated with Ken Burns for nearly 30 years as part of Florentine Films, Sarah Botston will discuss her latest film, PBS's The American Revolution, alongside historical filmmaking and revolutionary techniques Florentine Film uses to bring history to life. As an Emmy-nominated documentary producer, Botston will be in conversation with Amari Paris Jeffries of Embrace Boston. This Lowell lecture will be introduced by BPL President David Leonard. And the story continues on, but that's all the time I have for today. My name is Billy, and I've been reading you the Beacon Hill Times for the Talking Information Center. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening.